Namo tassa bhagavato arahato My dear Dhamma children, Dhamma brothers and sisters, we have all assembled here this afternoon on this sacred land to express our feelings of gratitude, our devotion to my Dhamma father, Sayaji Uba Khin. Many of you have come from far off places, from different countries, from about 30 countries of the world, and you are fortunate that you have come on this Dhamma land, which has preserved, maintained the Dhamma in its pristine purity, both Pariyatti as well as Patipatti. For us, it is a real pilgrimage to the sacred land. First of all, we express our feelings of deep gratitude, deep devotion towards Gautama, the Samma Sambuddha. We understand how much pains he took, life after life, centuries after centuries, eons after eons, to fulfill his paramis and attain Samma Sambuddhi. As a recluse by the name of Sumedha Brahman, when he came in contact with the Samma Sambuddha of that time, Dipankara, he had sufficient paramis with which, getting the technique of Vipassana from Samma Sambuddha Dipankara, he could have easily become an Arhant, fully liberated. He had the liberation in his hand. It was there, and yet he sacrificed it. I am not interested in my own liberation alone. I want to be like you, sir. I want to become a Samma Sambuddha so that I can serve countless beings and help them to come out of their misery, get liberated. And he understood very well. To become Samma Sambuddha, it will take countless kappas, countless eons, and he has to keep on suffering so much. Of course, in every life, helping so many people, so many beings. And yet, he agreed to pass through all those difficulties just to help so many others. What a great sacrifice, what a great compassion. If he had attained Arhanthood at that time, or later on, even if he had attained the stage of Paccheka Buddha, how could we get this wonderful Dhamma? So we are extremely grateful to him that he kept on suffering, kept on developing parmi to that extent where he became Samma Sambuddha. After taking all the pains, after fulfilling all the parmis to the extent where one can become Samma Sambuddha, in his last life at the age of 35 when he became Sammasambuddha, the rest of his life, 45 years, day and night, kept on serving people with all the love, with all the compassion. And then the arahants who were trained under him with infinite compassion, they started serving people with Dhamma throughout the country and also outside the country. And then from generation to generation, from teacher to pupil, the Ganges of Dhamma kept on flowing, serving large number of people in the country of the origin and abroad. So we remember this wonderful Sammasambuddha, all the pains that he took to reach that stage. Everyone feels that he actually worked for me. If he had not worked so much, how could I have got Dhamma? How could I have got the path of liberation? Therefore, we express our feeling of deep gratitude and deep devotion towards Gautama, the Sammasambuddha. And from then onwards, all these saintly people, the teachers who maintained Dhamma in its pristine purity and kept on serving people, we feel so grateful to them and we express our feeling of devotion towards them. And then, unfortunately for the country of the origin of Dhamma, just within a period of 500 years, the pure Dhamma of Pariyatti and Patipatti were both lost totally. And if this wonderful Dhamma had not gone beyond the boundary of the country of origin, again, we would have lost everything and we would not have been fortunate to get it and get the path of liberation. And we remember this wonderful land, which in those days was called Ramanya Desha, a beautiful land. It became all the more beautiful, a sacred land, which became all the more sacred when the Dhamma came to this land. We are thankful, we are grateful to those two brothers, Tapasya and Bhallika, who were the first two lay person to meet the Buddha and offer him honey and rice cakes, the rice of this land, honey of this land was offered as the first food to the enlightened one. It was a great meritorious deed to give first food to the enlightened one. Enormous merit. Those merits go not only to these two brothers, those merits go to the entire country, all the people of this country. For centuries and centuries, the merits will keep the people of this country happy, peaceful, and bring them to the path of liberation. And then, these two brothers, they got the hair relics of the enlightened one. And those hair relics were brought to this country. The country became all the more sacred with those hair relics which are enshrined in this historical stupa, Shwedagon. The vibrations of this wonderful Shwedagon with the relics of the hair of the enlightened one is not only helping this country, but is helping the entire mankind. People come and pay respect here. They get benefit of these vibrations and they keep on walking on the path of Dhamma to get liberated. Now, hundreds of you who have come for the pilgrimage to this sacred land will be meditating on the platform of Shwedagon, and you will realize what a wonderful sacred place it is. Of course, those people who go there, pay respects by offering flowers, etc., they get all the merits because of their devotion. But those who go and meditate there, limitless merits, limitless benefits they get by it. So today, we feel very thankful and grateful to Tapasya and Bhalli, who brought these relics to this country and who later on they went back to India, learned Dhamma from him and brought Dhamma also to this country. And then we remember Arahant Gavampati, who just 7 years after the Parinibbana of the Enlightened One came to this country to meet his brother of previous lives, who was ruling by the name of Stiha Singha, Singha Raja, and who had established the capital of Suddhammapuri, which is now called Thaton. And this king, Singha Raja, was a very powerful king. He had established this city of Suddhammapura and the whole country of Suvarnabhumi. He was ruling the entire country of Suvarnabhumi. The Suvarnabhumi was not only limited to today's Myanmar. A great portion of Thailand was in it. The entire peninsula of Malaysia was in it, down to the tip. And it is not wrong to say that this Singha Raja established the city of Singapore. We don't remember him just for his political powers. We remember him that he helped Dhamma to spread in all this area, with, of course, the help of Arahant Gavampati. And then, after a few hundred years, again we remember the great Emperor Ashoka and his teacher, Arahant Moggaliputtissa, and we are grateful to them that they sent Dhamma outside India. When he sent Dhamma Duta to different countries, 2 Dhamma Duta were sent to this sacred land, Sona and Uttara. And that was the time when the Dhamma in its pristine purity got strongly established in this part of the world. We must understand, the first sermon that they gave was Brahmajala Sutta, which is not an ordinary sutta. And it shows, it proves, that already there was Buddha's teaching in this part of the world, but still people were not very much established. To establish them in the purity of Dhamma, this wonderful sutta was explained. This sutta deals with so many wrong views. Perhaps people were involved in it. So to take them out of the wrong views, this sutta was preached. This sutta was not only for Pariyati, this sutta was also for Patipatti, because the whole sutta says that every philosophical belief, the wrong philosophical belief, generates within the experience of the mind and matter, and Vipassana takes you to beyond mind and matter, where there is no more Vedana and therefore no more Tanha. That shows these Arhans, Sona and Uttara, did wonderful job to get the Dhamma established in this part of the world, both Pariyatti as well as Patipatti. That is why we express our feeling of gratitude, great gratitude, deep gratitude towards these two Arhants who brought pure Dhamma and got established in this country. And this Dhamma land kept on getting benefit of Dhamma generation after generation, centuries after centuries. We don't have the names of those teachers who were teaching Paryati and Patipatti in this part of the world. But still, one name comes up before us, a brilliant name, a brilliant person. Arhant Dhammadassi, 800 years ago, Arhant Dhammadassi, who was popular as Ashi Arhant. And being an Arhant, with all the abhinyas, he could see that the northern part of the country, Dhamma gets deteriorated. There is no pure Dhamma there. And he was eager to establish pure Dhamma in the entire country. He saw that the teachers of Dhamma there in those days called Ari. That means they claimed that they are Aryas, but actually they were enemies of Dhamma, because they had spoiled Dhamma, spoiled the purity of Dhamma. So he decided to go to that part of the country where he saw that a very powerful person has become the ruler, Anuratha, Anuruddha. He realized very well that in this part of the country, the lower Burma, the king Manohari, who was also known as Manua, was a weak king. Any strong king who may be anti-Dhamma might destroy the whole thing, and the Dhamma will get destroyed. So therefore, to preserve the Dhamma in its pristine purity, he thought, I must go and help this powerful king of the northern part of Burma. And he went there and he convinced the king Anuratha that there is still in this part of the country, the whole Tipitaka is there in its pristine purity. And not only that, the technique is there, because he says there are monks in this part of the country who are Arya, who are Sikha and Asikha. That means who have reached the stage of Sotapanna, Sagdagami, Anagami, and also to the stage of Arhant. The king Anuratha was fully convinced. Without going into the details of the history, the Tipitikas were brought to Pagan, Arimaddanapura. Arimaddanapura, the city where the Aris were destroyed. That city, the pure Dhamma was brought there. Therefore, we express our feeling of deep gratitude towards Arhant Dhammadassi. Shing Arhant. He lived for a number of years in that part of the country, established Dhamma there, both Paryati and Patipati. Then it is said he went further north and went and settled down in the Sagai hill. Therefore, Sagai is also a very sacred place of Dhamma. Not only Shing Arhant meditated there for the whole life, but he kept on teaching this Dhamma to so many people who wanted to learn Dhamma, the Patipatti Dhamma. And after that, we don't have the names of the people, names of the teachers, but from generation to generation, from teacher to pupil, from teacher to pupil, that was the center which maintained Dhamma in its pristine purity. And then comes before us the brilliant teacher, 150 years ago, Lady Sayadaw, a wonderful teacher, both of Paryati and Patipati. And we are feeling of infinite gratitude towards this wonderful Dhamma teacher. He was such a far-sighted person. He could see that when 2,500 years are over, after the Buddha, the second Sasana will arise. And Dhamma will spread round the world. So he made preparation for that. And he knew most part of the world, people have no respect for Buddha because they don't know anything about Buddha or his teaching. How will they learn the teaching of Buddha? And that was his thought, and the decision that he made was a wonderful decision. He could realize that in the countries where people have got respect and devotion towards Buddha and his teaching, the monks are the proper people, they can teach. But in countries where people know nothing about Buddha and his teaching, if the monks go there, perhaps they may not accept the monk. So he decided that till now, the teaching of Dhamma, especially Patipatti, was limited to the monks. Now it must be given to the lay people also. So he opened the gate for the lay people to learn this technique, get established in technique, and be able to serve others in this technique. It was a historical decision, and it was a very fruitful decision. Therefore, we feel so deeply grateful to this great Dhamma teacher. And he trained one wonderful lay teacher, Sayateji. We remember him and pay our respect to him. He established a shining example of a lay teacher, how a lay teacher should live, how a lay teacher with all the love and compassion serve others and spread Dhamma. That is an example which will keep on giving us inspiration for generations. Although in the attire of a family man, a lay person, inside he lived the life of a monk. So very much pure was his life that people will keep on getting inspiration by his life. Therefore, our deep feeling of gratitude towards Sayateji. And then comes this brilliant shining star in the galaxy of Dhamma, Sayaji Uba Ken, my Dhamma father. I was so close to him, so I knew, I understood what a great Dhamma inspiration he had. That now the time has ripened, the clock of Vipassana has struck, the Dhamma has to spread round the world, it will spread round the world. He had so much love and compassion for the entire suffering humanity, but special love and compassion for the country of origin, and special love and compassion, the country where Bodhisattva got birth, the Himalayan country of Nepal. When you will visit as a pilgrim to the center of Sayaji, IMC, you will find there a replica of Himalaya. Every day morning from 3 to 4 o'clock, he will give mitta standing there. To Himalayas, down to the entire India, people are suffering there. They have lost the wonderful Dhamma, and Dhamma must arise in these countries for the good and welfare of the suffering people. So much of love, so much of compassion, so much of goodwill. I heard him saying number of times that in so many lives previously, I have meditated in the caves of Himalayas. So he had so much affinity, so much of love for that country and for that area. And then for India, he kept on saying that I have to pay back the debt of gratitude. This wonderful, invaluable Dhamma came from India, and today India is bankrupt. They don't have Dhamma. It is my duty to go and give them Dhamma, repay this debt of gratitude to the country of origin. And he was very confident that pure Dhamma will again get migrated to India, get established there, and from that country it will spread around the world, serving the entire humanity. He very much wanted to go himself to give Dhamma, to pay back the debt of gratitude to this country. But due to certain reasons, he could not go. And a situation arose due to which, even as a Burmese citizen, I got a passport to go to India. He was so happy, so pleased. Now you will go as my representative and you will fulfill my mission, my wishes. I had my own hesitation because I knew my limitation. How I can teach Dhamma and how I will be successful in a country where people have got so much misunderstanding about Buddha and his teaching. But he encouraged, saying that you have nothing to worry because Dhamma is going there and through you I am going there and you will be successful, you need not worry. When I went there, there was all darkness before me. How people will come to me to stay with me for 10 days? These are residential courses. How people will have confidence to come and stay with me? And then who will arrange these courses? Everything was very dark. But it was all the power of Syaji Oba Khen. It was all the blessing of Syaji Oba Khen that within 1 month, the first course of 10 days was given in India. And then after that, the Ganges of Dhamma started flowing throughout the country. Courses after courses, unbelievable. And hundreds of people, thousands of people from around the world, they started coming to India due to one reason or the other, and they started taking these courses. Unbelievable. And then these yogis who came from different countries, they started pressing hard that I should visit their countries, their friends, their relatives. All of them cannot come to India and take course. Why not I go there? But I was handicapped. The passport that I had the endorsement of only one country, India. I could not go even to Nepal. So I remembered Sayaji. I remembered the Dhamma given by him and took an adhithan that within 10 years, either I get endorsement from my country to go to different countries, or this country will give me the nationality, India will give me their own nationality so that I can go around the world. The time of 10 years was coming nearer and nearer. No endorsement was coming. And to get nationality of a country takes long time. And even if I get nationality, to get a passport takes a long time. But how Dhamma worked. Within 3 days, I got my nationality changed. I got my passport exactly on the day when it was 10 years over. And the blessing of Sayaji and the power of Dhamma, it made me feel all the more that I am just a representative of Sayaji. I am just a representative of Sayaji. Everything is done by Dhamma, everything is done by Sayaji Oba Khen. From the time I started the first course, whenever I gave Dhamma, Anapana or Vipassana, I started it, of course, paying respect to Samma Sambuddha. I started it saying, Guru Var Teri Or Se Devun Dharam Ka Daane. Oh, my teacher, I am giving Dhamma to the people on your behalf. I am your representative. Guru Var Tera Pratinidhi Devun Dharam Ka Daane. I am your representative and I am giving Dhamma on your behalf. You are the donor of Dhamma. I am just a medium, a representative. When people talk that I have done a good job, a wonderful job, having spread Dhamma around the world, I feel so embarrassed. Who am I to spread Dhamma in the world? Sayaji is spreading Dhamma. I always remember a couplet, a doha, of a poet who was very rich, had lot of money, and every day morning he will sit on a platform in front of his house and keep on giving dana to whoever comes in large quantity. Whenever he gave dana to others, his eyes were always downcast. And people asked him, "Why you keep your eyes downcast?" And he replied, "Devanevaru ore hai, devat hai din rane, log bharam mujh par dhare, yate niche naine." One who is giving, there is someone else who is giving, but people think that I am giving, so I feel embarrassed, I am not giving, that is why I keep my eyes downcast. The same feeling comes to me. The Dhamma Dana is given by my Dhamma father, Syaji Ubakhin. People should not have this wrong impression that I am giving Dhamma in the world. My teacher is giving Dhamma in the world. I am just a representative. So no ego can come. So keep down the ego. All the time I have to remember my Dhamma father. I am his representative. And I request all those whom I have trained as teachers that whenever they give Dhamma, they must always have the same feeling that Dhamma is being given by Syaji Ubakhin and you all are just representatives of Syaji Ubakhin. Therefore, on this day, when we are all assembled here to pay our homage to this great householder saint, Syaji Ubakhin, our Dhamma father, may we all keep on serving him. May all the suffering people around the world get benefited by his teachings, which he got from Buddha, the Gautama Buddha. The only way to pay real respect to Syaji Ubakhin is live the life of pure Dhamma. Be a good example of somebody living the life of pure Dhamma and keep on serving people egolessly, always thinking I am representative of Syaji Ubakhin. May the Dhamma vision, may the Dhamma mission of that great teacher Syaji Ubakhin get fulfilled. May more and more people around the world get benefited by this wonderful Dhamma. May all come out of their suffering. May all be happy, be peaceful, be liberated. Bhavatu sab mangalam. Bhavatu sab mangalam. Bhavatu sab.